We are studying the book of Luke. Book of Luke gives us the chance to know about the birth of Jesus Christ. Last time we were here, we learned that angel came to Mary and gave the greetings to her and told her sister Elizabeth. She was barren for many years, and she is pregnant for 6 months. And Mary starts saying, I didn't see any man, means I have no contact with a man. How this is going to happen? And he told her, there is nothing impossible with God. And then Mary said, let it be according to thy word. As soon as Mary said, let it be according to thy word, the word became flesh. St. John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, word became flesh and dwelt among us. It happened in a split second. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our triune God is in a spirit form. But the first time when God sent his son, means said, okay, son, now you can take the form of man. Jesus Christ, he was God himself, took a form of man, and Mary became pregnant instantly. Mary didn't know. Mary might be thinking, I said it to the angel, let it be according to God's word. She might be thinking, maybe near future, maybe a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, we don't know, someday I'm going to be a pregnant. She didn't know that instantly she became pregnant, and she did not even know. At that time, Mary wanted to go and find what the angel told her is a real story. So Mary goes, meets her cousin sister, found her, and when she greets her cousin sister, her baby in her womb leaped for joy. And then she filled with the Spirit of God and start prophesying. And she is trying to tell Mary, you are the mother of the Lord. And your voice, my baby heard in my womb, and baby leaped for joy. Now the Mary came to know, I am pregnant. Up to now she didn't know. She knew that how Elizabeth could tell me that I am pregnant. And then not only that, Elizabeth told her, you are a believer and you believed in the Lord and you are going to have fulfillment what the prophecy angel told you. So that means not only you are pregnant, you are going to give birth to your son. And then we learn that Mary stayed there at least 3 months. And the word of God says Mary returned to her own house. And then we learn that Zechariah's wife Elizabeth gave the birth to her son John the Baptist. But I believe even the word of God says she returned home. Sometimes it feels like she never saw the baby John, but I think she might have seen the baby John, so she would have witnessed to somebody, my cousin's sister was barren, now she gave the birth to the child. When she comes back, that's the time she gives the news to her husband was not actually husband at that time. She was engaged to the Joseph. And now she gives the news to the Joseph. And when she gives the news to Joseph, I think Joseph was a little bit scared. Just think, the word of God says Joseph was a righteous man. Let's go to the Matthew. Then we'll come to the Luke. Matthew chapter 1, starting from verse 18.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Now see here he's saying, before they came together, they were just engaged, and she was already pregnant.
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately.
Now see here he's saying, Joseph, being a just man, a righteous man, the righteous in the sight of God, God-fearing man. And now here Mary comes with a 3 months pregnant and telling the story that I am pregnant. And I went to see Elizabeth and she delivered the baby boy, John. All of these things doesn't sink to the mind of Joseph. Joseph is a natural man just like you and me. He might have said, when the angels you saw and you got the message that you're going to be the mother of Jesus, why didn't you tell me? Why did you go to Elizabeth? And she might have said, well, I didn't know that time I was pregnant. Elizabeth only told me that you are the mother of the Lord. Now I believe that I'm pregnant. And now this story happened 3 months ago. Joseph might be thinking, I don't believe this story. Because you didn't tell me. Maybe you saw some man there and you got pregnant and now you're telling me this story. He got so confused. The righteous man didn't know what to do. I think he was a good man. If it was a 20th century man, might kill her right away. I don't want to hear this story. People are jealous and they kill their wives just looking at some man. Joseph was a good man. He's thinking what I should do now. I don't want this story to go around. And if I tell somebody, Mary is pregnant and I'm not even married to her, they will kill her. According to the Jewish law, they will stone her to death. So he's afraid that this young girl will be killed. So only thing he could do, don't tell anybody and secretly leave her. That means go to another town or tell her to go somewhere else. And this is what he was thinking. Let's read further.
But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
When he told him, Joseph, thou art the son of David, he said, oh, somebody knows my name, and somebody knows where I'm coming from. And then he's saying, now you engaged to Mary, you are not married to her yet, but you should take her your wife, as your wife. That means he said, now better don't leave her, but make her your wife or get married with her. And then he said, what she's carrying right now, that is the child of the Holy Spirit. Now when somebody says, is that a Holy Spirit child? No. What is this? God is holy. His Spirit is holy. Son is holy. Holy One of Israel. So the Son is holy. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was present there. They were present. And that time when she said, let it be according to your word, the Spirit of Christ came into her womb and became a child. That's what he said, the word became flesh. And so he said, that is the Holy One, the Holy Child. And so it's not from unholy man. Nobody touched her. She didn't do anything wrong. This is from God. Okay, go ahead.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
When the child comes to this world, you name him Jesus. Jesus means the Savior. He is the Savior of the whole wide world. And so he just gives him the idea that he is the one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, going to come to this world, and he's going to save the sinners. Verse 22.
Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Now he is trying to give him some Bible lessons. You know what the prophet said. And what the prophet said, that prophecy is being fulfilled right now in front of your eyes. And what prophecy was saying, Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, please.
Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Now see, the angel is telling him, maybe Joseph read this many, many times. Now he says, this is the prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let's go back to the Matthew. Emmanuel means God with us. So he's saying this is the prophecy is going to be fulfilled and is fulfilling right now. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23.
Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
See, he's already explaining to Joseph the prophecy, what does it mean? And so Joseph got the message, and when he comes out of the sleep, he's a new man. Please read.
Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife.
See, took unto him his wife. That means, all of a sudden, angel not only gave him a dream, he wake him up. Don't sleep now. You have work to do. And go and tell Mary, I am going to marry you. And get married. Let's finish the last verse.
And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Now see, angel did not say to him, you know what? She is pregnant now. She's bringing the Emmanuel, the God with us. Please don't touch her or don't do anything until the firstborn son. He didn't say that. But God gave him grace to live a pure and holy life until the child is born. What does it mean? If he's the firstborn, then we'll be secondborn and thirdborn and fourthborn. That means she would have more children. It should say she will be bringing her only begotten son. Only first son and the last son. Nobody else will come after. Now, book of Luke, chapter 2. Now, see the situation here. Joseph listened to the voice of the angel, even in the dream. And he believed what Mary said is true. Because what Mary was saying, exactly the angel said. So now he knows Mary is not lying. Now, as soon as he got married, something might be going in his mind. I took the responsibility to take care of Mary. Now she's 3 months. Within a 6 month, she will be like this. And then my neighbors and my relatives are going to fight with me. How it happened? You just got married, and she is already 3 months or 6 months pregnant. And so he didn't know what to do and how to hide. But the God had the plan. Let's read. Luke chapter 2.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David.
This was the first taxing happened, and he said this was for the whole world. God was waiting for the timing. Now, Joseph doesn't have to be afraid of his neighbors and his friends. What's going to happen? Decree went that you have to go and file the taxes in your own town. And so the word of God says, Joseph and Mary start from Galilee and went to Nazareth. From there, they went to the Bethlehem. And why they went to Bethlehem? Because David was from the Bethlehem. So now they went to Bethlehem. Now just think, if you go to some another state or another country for 25, 30 years, and when you go back to your home, that home will be broken down, or maybe somebody took over, and maybe more people there, and there will be no room. And this is the situation when they were going. But they were not worried about anything. Those days, there were no telephone system. There was no cell phone or anything to tell my wife and myself are coming and she's pregnant. Could you prepare the house for me? No way. And so they are going by faith. And sometimes when the trial comes, you will see here, when these people are going and they had so many problems. Start reading from verse 5.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
Now here again she says, the Mary, who was the Mary, the same Mary who was engaged with him, that Mary became his wife, and now that same Mary is pregnant. So that means it's not like he heard the message of angel, he married her. Now the same girl became his wife, and now they are going. Let's read verse 6.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
Now when they were there, where there? They were already in Bethlehem. Do you know how many miles they walked? Somebody says 80 miles from their house to go to Bethlehem. Now just think, some lady is pregnant, almost now 10 months, and they are traveling like that, and they didn't have the taxis or limousine, and they have to travel on donkey. Did you ever sat on donkey? If you sit on a horse, it's similar, but the horse ride is much better than the donkey ride. Donkey ride is very bumpy ride. And so you can see, so much problem, 80-mile journey, and the people walk maybe 4 to 5 miles per hour. And 80 miles traveling in between resting and things like that, you have to travel maybe 20 to 24 hours. They were dead tired, and the days were coming so close. Verse 7.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now here also said, firstborn son. When you say firstborn son, there might be some other children. I just wanted to give some reference. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46.
While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him.
His mother and his brethren. Somebody said, oh, his brethren might be disciples. No, his disciples were with him when the Mary came with her own children. Let's read the Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 and 56.
Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us?
See, he's very clear. He says, this is Mary. Jesus Christ is the Joseph's son, they thought he is carpenter's son. And then he's saying Mary's children's names are given. And so some people do not want to believe that Mary had other children, but the Bible says so. Otherwise, it will not say she brought forth her firstborn son. And so she had other children. So let's read verse 8. Luke 2:8.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And you might have seen so many movies about that. They go to the hotel or inn and ask them to give a room, and they didn't have a room. But in olden days, in the village, there is no hotel, there is no motel. But what they were trying to say, they went to their own house, there is no room. They went to the neighbor's house, there is no room. So everywhere there was no room for them. I was listening to one person who was giving scientific facts. And I was listening to him and it impressed me. And it sounds very true. He says, why in the world the Son of God should be born in the manger? Why God did not prepare him a beautiful place or a hotel or motel? He could do that. Why it happened that child has to be in the manger and where there is no other people? According to the Jewish law, if lady gives birth to the child, girl or boy, she is unclean because she bleeds. An unclean person touches any person, those people will be unclean. So just think, in a crowded house or anywhere she would have gone and delivered the baby, there all people will be unclean. So that's why. And I don't think the Joseph delivered the baby. No. Man will never go to, in the olden days, to deliver the baby. He might be looking for some better place or whatever. And here the baby is already born. Took this child away from the people. Didn't want to feel the other people are contaminated because of Mary. And so God did not invite relatives, friends or midwife to take care of the Mary. God takes care of us. Sometimes when you are pregnant and your husband is not with you or your relatives are not with you, you get so mad. But if God is with you, you don't have to worry. The Mary believed that this is the child of God, and God gave her the beautiful Son, which is the Son of God. We sang some song, and in that song it says the baby was not even crying. Most of the babies, when they are born, they cry. And I was thinking, if the Mary had the diary, writing everything about her son, first day and pregnancy, did he kick her in the womb? Did he make her uncomfortable? Did he cry too much? Did he fight for the milk? Or whatever. Did he go to school properly? Did you have to force him to go to school? All of these things, if the Mary writes, you will be surprised. This child was a special child. 2 years child, they said, 2 years are naughty child. They will break everything in the house. They run around and this and that. If you would have asked Mary, she would tell you, my son doesn't give me any hard time. He is the best child in the world. Why? Because he was the Son of God. So we see when the baby was born, God did not announce to the prophets, the priests or religious people or the government people or even her relatives. He sent the word to the shepherds. the word of God says angel came upon them. That means angel did not come when they were sitting and just came appear in the middle and say, hey, how are you? No, he came and just hovering on them and giving the message. And when they saw the light surrounding all around them, and they were afraid. What is this? They never saw these things in their life. This kind of glory of God, and the angel is appearing and talking to them. They had a message.
And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
What the angel is saying, I am giving you a good news. And this good news is going to give you a great joy, not only to you, but for all people. So the Jesus Christ was born not to give joy to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, but that joy was going to be to all people. That's why we say the joy of salvation. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the joy comes to your heart. Not the happiness. You say, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas. No, joyful Christmas. Joy comes when you receive Jesus Christ. The happiness, temporarily happiness. But the joy is eternal. When you receive the joy of salvation, the Word of God says, joy of the Lord is my strength. So when you receive Jesus Christ, the joy comes. If you read in a book of Acts, chapter 8, when Philip goes and preach there and people receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the Word of God said the joy came to whole city. Whole city was rejoicing when they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So if you are really born again child of God and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven. And now you have joy of salvation. So that joy was not only for the shepherds, but the joy was for the all people. And I even heard what those shepherds were doing. They were not only watching the sheep, they were living in there. They were living far away from the city. And they were taking care of those lambs. And I heard those lambs were not ordinary lambs. Those lambs, they were taking care, going to be slaughtered for the sacrifice. So those are the lambs they were keeping. Now you don't have to kill your lamb anymore. Jesus Christ will be sacrificial lamb. He is the Son of God. Let's read verse 11.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Now he says, who is this? This baby is not an ordinary baby. He's going to save people from their sins, and he is the Christ, the Lord. Christ means anointed one. Christ is the suffering Christ. Jesus Christ is going to die for the mankind. He is the Lamb of God. He will be slaughtered for your sins, and you will be saved from the sins because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Indirectly, he was saying, this lamb you're taking care, but now we got another lamb. And that lamb is the savior of the whole world. He's going to die for mankind. That's the meaning of Christ. Okay, let's read further. Verse 12.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Now, when he said this is the sign for you, you will see this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in the manger. Now, this is not so surprising to these people. They know when you say manger, it's not a house. When you say manger, where the people keep their sheep and goats and things like that. And so they were already in the field. And maybe close to the field, there was a manger. Otherwise, angel has to give them the direction, what place they should be going. And so when you say, the sign is only this. When you go and see in the manger, the baby is wrapped in the swaddling cloth, that is the child. And so I believe there might be some kind of star appeared or something special they saw, and they had no problem finding out the manger. He says, go to the manger. They found out the baby. Let's read.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
As soon as the first angel gave the message, all other angels, the host of angels, came. We were just watching one program that was not even a movie. It was like a children's program. They showed the angels coming like a thousands of angels, keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on coming, like a thousands and thousands of angels. And so I thought that writer got the idea. So all angels were surrounding. And what they were doing? Singing a song, praising God, glorifying God. And this shepherd never heard that beautiful message and song in their life. So these shepherds might be so excited, so happy that somebody comes and sings a song. And that's not ordinary people who are singing. The angels are singing and glorifying God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So that's what the happiest song and joyful song they heard. Verse 15.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
See, now these angels left. Shepherd says, let's go to that small town of Bethlehem. They were in the mountain place taking care of the sheep, but they don't have to go too far. They don't have to go to village. Before they could come to village, they could find the manger right close to them. So they said, let's go. Now, do you know the word of God says they were watching over their flock? And it's a midnight, nighttime. Why they are watching? Because the lions or the tiger or anybody come and will kill their sheep and lambs. So that's why they were watching. They were not sleeping. And here the angel went to heaven, and these people start talking to each other. They didn't say, hey, could you sit here and watch the lambs and we go and see the baby and then we'll come back and then you go take a turn? No. They say, let's go. They all wanted to go. So they didn't care what happens to the sheep and lambs and goats, because we found the Savior of the world. Just like the blind man, Jesus Christ says, hey, blind man, come. The Word of God says the blind man has the stick, had the cloth, and had the pot. He threw everything and he ran to Jesus. He didn't care about, I don't need this stick. I don't need this dirty cloth anymore, because I'm going to see. That's the way these people thought. We don't need these sheep and goats anymore. Let's go and see baby Jesus. And that's why they came. Okay, let's read further.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
How did they come? In haste. They did not waste time. They did not say, well, it's a night time. We have to take care of our goats and sheep and lambs. Let the day come. Then we'll tie the sheep and goats in some kind of place. And then we'll go safely. No, they didn't care. They came hastily. So what the Word of God is saying, if God is telling you to do something, don't put it for tomorrow. Do it right away. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So when God calls, you say, yes, here I am. And serve the Lord. When God called me, I said, Lord, here I am. And I wanted to start my ministry right away. So the point I'm making, they came hastily. And when they came, they were not disappointed. They saw exactly what the angel said, that they saw the baby, and they saw the baby exact place, and they were so happy. Verse 17 and 18.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Okay, can you imagine? These shepherds, they came, they told Mary everything what angel told them. And they saw the baby, they worshiped the baby, they praised God and glorified God. And the word of God says they went abroad. Means they went house to house telling Jesus Christ is born. And they were the first messenger going and telling the people. And people might be thinking, who are these people? Maybe crazy. They smell bad. Their clothes are bad. And they're telling us, we saw Jesus. We saw the Savior. We saw God on earth. Nobody listened to them. Even that they told the Mary, listen, see verse 19.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Mary heard it and she put it in her heart. She's not telling anybody either. So the point I'm making, once you know the good news, that good news is not for you alone. You have to spread it around. You have to tell the world what you got. When you got healed by Jesus, don't secretly say, oh, I don't want to tell, I had the tuberculosis, and if I tell somebody, they will hate me. No, Wal Robert, he was dying with the tuberculosis when he was 17 years old. When he got healed, he didn't keep a secret. He told the whole world. Not only that, he started praying for the whole world. Sometimes people said, oh, pray for me, I have a secret request. When God heals you, are you telling somebody what was the problem? If you don't, why should God heal you again? God does miracle for you to tell somebody. The blind man says, I was blind and now I see. And if you see that story in John's Gospel, chapter 9, they tried to suppress him. I know one thing. I was blind. Now I see. They kicked him out from the synagogue, but he was not afraid. The point I'm making, if God heals you, tell somebody. If God saves you, tell somebody. There are people, they are Christian, and they do not tell their neighbor they are Christian. This thing happened. One man met D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody told him about Jesus Christ. And this man was so excited. And he said to D.L. Moody, you know, I have a neighbor who is a pastor. But he never told me about Jesus. But D.L. Moody told him about Jesus. So this man comes and tells the pastor, Pastor, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? He said, well, I thought you may not like it. You may hate me. That's why I didn't tell. That's not a good reason. We have to tell the people what God has done for you. Tell your husband. Tell your wife. Some people, you know, they get saved. And they are dating to each other. And the person is not saved. And they don't want to tell that I got saved. So what happens? Then if they get married, their marriage doesn't work. If that girl would have said, you know what? I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He said, I don't need you. Then you go. I want Jesus. Or if you love me, I go to church, you follow me. And if they don't, you don't need that person. That's what the Bible says. Do not unequally yoke. Can be business, can be husband and wife, or any relationship. If somebody hates your Jesus, you have no business loving that person. If somebody hates Jesus, he's the enemy of Christ. He should be your enemy too. But Jesus Christ says, love your enemy. Means bring that person to Christ. We are not here to hate somebody. If somebody hates you, you pray for them. The Word of God says, when you live godly life, God can make your enemy your friends. They can come around. I have seen in my life, some people wanted to kill me, but I prayed for them and they became Christian many, many times. So the Word of God is saying, when you got the joy of salvation, try to spread it around. Shepherd didn't care. We look ugly. We smell bad. People may not like us. But they went to tell anybody anyhow. So it's a message of the salvation. People do not want to hear Merry Christmas. This is almost 2,000 years. People are afraid to tell others about Jesus. If all the Christians united and Christian people put some kind of announcement before the Christmas comes, if any shop does not play Christian songs or does not say Merry Christmas, we are not going to shop in that shop. They get the message. The point I'm making, tell everybody, they like it or not. When you're going in a Christmas time and getting the Christmas card and you have a Jewish print, oh, I'll buy Happy Holidays. Don't buy Happy Holidays. Buy Merry Christmas. Write the Christmas message. If they don't like it, next year they may not send you a card. That's okay with me. But give the Christmas message to everybody. For the Christian, Christmas is every day. Jesus Christ is born in my heart. Now somebody said, if I was there and I knew that this was the Son of God, I would have given my home. Why they let him to go to the manger? I said, now is the time. Jesus Christ is saying, I'm knocking at your door. If you open your door, I'll come in. That's the time you are saying, Lord Jesus, I heard. When you came into this world, you didn't have room to keep your head. Somebody says, can I follow you? Jesus said, the birds have nest, the foxes has the holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay down his head. That's the way Jesus lived. We should say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my house, come into my church, come into my family, and your house, your church, your family, your home will be not the same. Your house will be blessed. Christ is in center in our life, in our house, in our family. We will live together for God. And so this Christmas, let's make a decision. If the shepherd can go and tell somebody, why can we tell somebody about the story of Christ? So we are going to tell somebody, Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is my supplier. I'm not looking for help anywhere else. The Word of God says, my help comes from above. God is the source of your supply. In the Christmas time, many people might be thinking, oh, this Christmas I didn't have the money to buy a tree. Don't worry. Do you see any tree here? No. Come to my house. No tree. But we have Christ. We have Bibles. We have books, we have CDs, we have DVDs, we have everything about Christ in our house, but not the tree and the decoration. Somebody says, is that bad? No, it's good. If you're living in a heathen country and all your neighbors are not Christian, that's the time to celebrate, put the lights and put everything, and they say, what is this? Then you tell them, this is the birth of Jesus Christ, but now we are competing with the neighbors. Oh, he has so many lights. I want to make them better than him and better than him. And let's call the cable company. And they're calling them. And they come and they say, okay, this is the best house decorated in Christmas time. They lost their blessing. We are not celebrating to show somebody how much we are rich. If you have money, find out on the Christmas time somebody's hungry. And give them food. When I was in India, I used fast on Christmas Day. I said, I can give my food to somebody else. But point I'm making, let's make this Christmas joyful, not for one day, year around. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we are so grateful to you. You have given us hope of salvation, hope of eternal life. And when you went, you said, I'm not going to keep you like a homeless or helpless people. I will come back and take you with me where I am. So, Lord Jesus, we are waiting upon you. You are coming very soon. Time is very short. There are people dying without God and without Christ. It is our duty. It is our responsibility to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Give us that courage. Give us that grace to tell somebody what we received. Lord Jesus, we commit our lives into your hands. Give us the holy boldness to share Jesus Christ with people. We ask you special grace for these coming years, so we will be telling others what Jesus Christ has done for us. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.